Chapter 10. The raptors cried out as they ran, and their long claws scraped along the floor with every step. They were about 7 feet long and 5 feet tall, with dark yellow skin and beady orange eyes. And as they tore down the hallway, it was impossible to see exactly how many of them there were. But judging by the number of nests, there were a hell of a lot. "Aim for the heads!" I yelled, as we swung our guns around to face the dinos. There wasn't any time for strategy or well-thought-out plans. The dinosaurs were fast and closing in, and I aimed at the one in the middle of the pack that seemed to be leading the way. Then I put my finger on the cool metal of the trigger and pulled. The sharp bullet whistled through the air and tore through the skull of the raptor. The dinosaur's face burst open, and the two eyeballs went flying in different directions from the impact. As the body hit the floor with a squelch, the girls began to shoot at the pack, and raptors started to fall left and right. We shuffled backward slightly as blood began to ooze out from the dino's bodies toward our feet. Then I shot at one of the raptors as it leapt over its packmates, and I managed to get it right in the snout. The dino's jaw shattered apart, and sharp teeth flew everywhere as its eyes rolled back into its head. It toppled onto the other bodies with a crunch, and it added to the little barricade of corpses between us and the rest of the pack. But the raptors didn't seem to care about the hurdle. The remaining members began leaping over the bodies.
"There's only a few left,"
Kat shouted as she shot at the closest dino. It looked like we had three more raptors to kill, and I took aim at the biggest of the bunch as it hurtled over the bloody barrier. I shot right into the beast's left orange eye as it whipped its head around, and the bullet traveled straight through the small skull into the opposite eyeball. The top of the creature's head exploded off, and a small eruption of gore poured out of the top. As the dinosaur fell, I watched Haywan and Adhara shoot at the final raptor. They hit it right in the middle of the skull, and there was a sickening crunch as the last pack member toppled onto its front. The hallway was silent again, and the lake of blood trickled to our feet as I checked either side for any lurking dinos.
"That's dealt with, then,"
Becca sighed as she wiped some blood splatter from her cheek.
"You think that was all the parents?"
"Maybe," I said as I looked down at the pile of bodies. "But they made a shitload of noise. Something else must have heard all that chaos."
"We should be fast,"
Adhara nodded.
"Other Omati will smell blood."
With a final glance at the pile of raptor corpses, I pushed the storage room open again and gagged at the stench.
"Ugh, this smells terrible,"
Haywan choked as we stepped inside.
"How are we meant to find the missing piece?"
The room was pretty big, and the walls were lined with shelves that had large plastic boxes stacked in every square inch. Luckily, it looked like the boxes were labeled, and it didn't seem like many of them had been damaged by the dinos. The only issue was getting to the boxes without stepping on eggs or piles of dino shit. "I guess they spent a lot of time in here," I muttered, as I tried not to look too closely at the ground.
"What is the name of the thing again?"
Kat asked as she covered her nose.
"A superconducting link,"
Haywan answered. "Haywan, Becca," I said, "you guys keep a lookout. I feel like pregnant women shouldn't be stepping in dino shit."
"I won't argue with that,"
Becca gagged as she turned to stand guard at the doorway.
"I think pregnant women can do anything,"
Haywan said.
"Although, in this case, I think I will accept my post. I knew there was a reason people had babies."
Kat scowled as she took a huge step over a rancid puddle. "Yeah," I chuckled and started to make my way over to the nests. "Getting out of tasks like this is definitely the reason." Kat smirked and rolled her eyes at me, and Adhara glared at the eggs as she lifted her long legs over them. The beautiful alien and the soldier both made small choking noises as Adhara's foot narrowly missed a pile of dino crap, and Kat sent her a grimace of support. We carefully navigated to the back shelves and managed to get there without any unpleasant incidents. And as I scanned the box labels, I found that half of them contained things I could barely pronounce. We were silent as we studied the shelves, and my stomach did a flip when I spotted a faded label on the top shelf which read, "Superconducting Links." The trouble was, there were four different labels with the same words, but each had a different part number specified as well, and I was able to locate the one that matched the part number on my slip of paper. "There it is," I hissed, and pointed up to the high shelf.
Can you reach?
Kat asked, as she squinted up at the box. I stood on my toes, but the box was just a few inches too high. I put a foot on the lowest shelf and gripped the metal poles of the unit as I hauled myself up higher.
Careful,
Kat muttered.
If those boxes fall over, then something will definitely hear us.
The shelving unit was bolted into the wall, so I put my full weight onto it as I swung my arm up and grabbed the edge of the box. I shimmied it off the shelf and then grabbed it as I stepped back down onto the floor. It was heavy, and I placed it down on one of the lower shelves before I tore off the plastic lid, and there were long tubes of black material that had something solid inside. This must be it, I said, as I grabbed one and looked in the open end of the tube. Inside there was something silver and circular, with intricate bronze wiring in the center. I didn't have a clue what it was for, but it matched the description Mateo gave me. Fuck yeah, I grinned. We found them. I pulled one of the material-covered items from the box and hesitated before I took a second. It had a strap attached to the casing that was just wide enough for me to sling over my shoulder with the blaster. And it wasn't as heavy as I had expected.
You're taking two?
Kat asked. Yeah, I nodded. Just in case something happens to one of them. I don't want to have to do this all over again.
Good plan,
Adhara said.
I will take one of these.
I held out one of the cylinders, and the gorgeous alien carefully placed it on her shoulder with her weapons.
Fuck it,
Kat said.
Give me one, too. Might as well be thorough.
You just don't want everyone else carrying more weight than you, I grinned as I grabbed another tube from the box.
Can't let you two do all the hard work.
The soldier smirked and slid the strap over her back.
Are you guys nearly done?
Becca hissed.
I think I heard something. Me too.
Heiwan nodded.
It was coming from beyond the raptors.
I left the box on the shelf and turned to make my way back across the gross sea of shit and nests. I kept checking I had the superconducting link safely on my back while I went. And as we got to the hallway, I thought I could hear a rumbling sound, but I couldn't pinpoint which direction it was coming from. I can hear it too, I said as I peered down the corridor. The flicker of the fluorescent light made the building look like something from a horror movie, and the blood-soaked floor didn't exactly help.
I think it's getting closer,
Heiwan said as she kept her sharp gun aimed past the raptors. Let's go, I said. We need to get back to the ship before whatever it is finds this pile of dead dinos and catches our scent.
There's a window at the end of the hall,
Heiwan said.
Maybe we should go and check that it is not something right outside.
I glanced down past the raptors and saw smashed glass on the floor at the far end of the hall. I'll go check, I nodded. Stay here. I walked over to the wall of dead raptors and jumped over their corpses onto the other side. Fuck, I hissed, as I slid on the bloody linoleum. But I managed to steady myself without toppling over into the pile of bodies. There were bits of brain and bone strewn everywhere, and I carefully navigated past the mess toward the end of the hall. The rumbling sound had started to grow louder, and I was almost certain that it was the rhythmic thump of heavy footsteps. I jogged down the hall and tried not to step on the shards of broken glass as I reached the smashed window. The view looked out the back of the building and onto the mountains, and for a second, I was just blown away by the Swiss landscape. The green woodlands stretched out over the hills, and the blue sky gave the snowy peaks a beautiful background. But my awe for the view was quickly broken when I looked down at the ground right behind the building. There were six of the biggest nests I had ever seen. A chill ran down my whole body as I stared down at the piles of sticks and filth, and the dark blue eggs inside them looked like they were bigger than me. Then one of the eggs started to shake, and for a second I thought it was about to hatch. As I stared down at the nests, the sound of approaching footsteps became more clear, and I realized all the eggs were shaking, but they weren't hatching. Whatever the fuck was coming was vibrating the ground with every step. Something huge was coming back to its breeding grounds, and it sounded like it could crush this whole building with one foot. Go! I hissed, as I spun around and raced back toward the girls. There are huge nests out the back! Something big is coming home! My second leap over the pile of raptors wasn't quite as graceful, and I had to grab onto Adhara's shoulder to steady myself as I skidded on the blood. These eggs are massive, I said, as I wiped blood from the bottom of my shoe onto a scaly corpse. We do not want to meet whatever the fuck laid them.
Shit!
Becca hissed, and we ran for the door of the stairwell. As we raced down the metal steps, the distant footsteps grew louder and louder. My heart rate soared as I took the stairs three at a time, and I pushed open the door to the ground floor the second I reached it. Then I scanned the space while I waited for the girls to catch up with me, and I heard Leo's blasters start to fire off again. He must have realized that we would be coming back soon and started up another frenzy to lure any stray dinos back down to the water. The booming footsteps were drowned out slightly by the sound of the ship, and the roars of the other creatures down at the lake made the rumbling harder to track.
Is it out there?
Kat asked as she came to a halt beside me. Not yet, I said, and peered out at the demolished ground floor. When the rest of the girls caught up, we sprinted out into the nest-covered area, and in the right half of the building we were still shielded from view. Unfortunately, as soon as we stepped past the ruined wall, we would be exposed, and then the real challenge would begin.
It is close,
Edhara whispered as we tore across the rubble-covered floor.
It is coming from the mountains.
The alien's good hearing turned out to be correct, and a few seconds later I could definitely hear the thumps were coming from our right side. We slowed down as we reached the edge of the torn-apart wall. The next step we took would lead us out into the open, and we would be back in the maze full of nests. Okay, I said, as sweat trickled down my neck. We do the same thing as before. We get through the eggs, and... I was cut off by a roar that made every hair on my body stand on end. I had never heard a noise like that before, and my entire body went as cold as ice while the sound echoed around the walls.
Oh my God!
Becca whimpered.
Jason, we need to go!
I nodded as my heart pounded in my throat, and I stuck my head out to check that the breeding ground was clear enough to get to the ship. Leo still had the big blasters on and was firing like mad into the lake. It was working well as a distraction, and the nests were unsupervised by any adult dinos. Run, I said, and I let the girls go in front of me as we leapt out into the open. The footsteps had gotten so loud now that I struggled to hear anything else, even with the ruckus of the other dinos around, and I kept my focus on putting one foot in front of the other as quickly as possible. The girls tore across the maze of nests just ahead of me, and the spaceship came into view as we navigated over the breeding grounds. I could see the hazy shimmer of the force field still on, and I hoped Leo would see us in time to take it down. In the lake just beyond the craft, there was a whole herd of mixed dinos thrashing around through the water, and getting caught by them would probably be just as brutal as the incoming giant finding us out here. The ship continued to fire into the lake and nearby trees, and it was driving the dinosaurs fucking crazy. They seemed to know they couldn't attack the ship, but were determined to find something to destroy as they whipped their heads around and howled into the sky. And they tore at the landscape and crashed into one another as they rampaged out of control. Leo had aimed his shots diagonally again, though, so the left side of the ship was dino-free to sneak around toward the back, and we were almost there. I just had to get my girls back into the craft, and Leo could put the force field back on in a flash. As long as they were safe, that was the only thing in the world that mattered right now. The bone-chilling roar echoed out over the landscape again, and I knew in that moment that the dinosaur was right behind us, close enough to see us. Go! I shouted at the girls, and I spun around to see a dinosaur bigger than a T-Rex looming over the destroyed storage facility. It stood about 40 feet tall on massively thick hind legs, and it must have been about 45 feet long. The scales on its body were matte black, but there were blood stains all down its front, and the dinosaur's claws were curled and thick enough that they could probably slice me open with a single tap. Then the beast took a single thunderous step, and as the ground shuddered, I was knocked right off my feet. My body froze out of sheer shock and terror as I looked into the giant's glowing red eyes, and the dinosaur's nostrils flared. I recognized the creature's downward curved snout from when I was a kid and was fascinated by anything around the size of a T-Rex. It was a fucking Mapusaurus, and I knew without a doubt that I was staring at one of the most dangerous dinosaurs I had ever met. The girls had stumbled and stopped in their tracks to catch their balance, and there was a second when we all seemed glued to the ground as we stared up at the massive dinosaur. We were still a few yards away from the ship, and Leo had buzzed off the force field. And as my adrenaline suddenly kicked in, I jumped to my feet and pushed the fear in my stomach down. Protect the girls. That was all that mattered. The Mapusaurus just stood and watched us as a gurgling rumble echoed in its huge sternum, and for a moment I wondered if it could actually see us or not. I knew some of these big bastards had shit-poor eyesight, and we were still in a maze of ragged nests and eggs. But its red eyes seemed to be fixed on me, and saliva dripped from its teeth onto the ground.
Jason,
Becca whispered so quietly I could barely hear.
Blastus? It is too close,
Adhara muttered.
Need to use sharp guns.
Got it,
Kat nodded, and she gripped her weapon tightly. Then Haywan took the smallest step backward, and she stumbled on a piece of nest that was sticking out at an odd angle. She managed not to make too much noise as she hit the ground, but she covered her mouth with her hand as she let out a small whimper, and I could immediately tell she had been hurt. My stomach lurched, and I took the smallest step to be next to her, but as I reached down to help her to her feet, the Mapusaurus's gurgling growl suddenly stopped. Are you okay? I breathed as I slowly pulled her up, and Haywan scrunched up her face in pain and fear.
My ankle,
she whispered.
I think I twisted it.
The beautiful Korean winced as she tried to put her weight on her foot, and my blood ran cold as the Mapusaurus sniffed the air. I clutched Haywan's hand tightly as she stood on one leg, and I knew I had to get her out of the breeding grounds as quickly as possible. Cat, I hissed. Do you think you could give Haywan a piggyback ride to the ship? The soldier nodded as she kept her eyes on the dinosaur. Okay, I said quieter than a whisper as we stood still. Get her back to the craft. Becca and Adhara on either side of Cat with your weapons ready.
What about you, Jason?
Becca whimpered.
You cannot stay alone,
Adhara agreed.
When you move, that thing will run, and Kat's got all these fucking nests to get through with Haywan on her back, I said through gritted teeth. Not to mention the other bastards all over the lake. There's too many dinos around to take any risks, so do as I say and get my pregnant wife to the ship. I'll shoot this fucker. Go.
The Mapusaurus's nostrils flared, and my women didn't make any more arguments. Cat sidestepped to Haywan so quietly that I almost didn't notice, and then the soldier lowered herself down, so Haywan could wrap her legs around the soldier's back. Adhara stepped behind the two so she would run first in line, and as Becca stood at the back, all four women sent me anxious looks. But all I cared about was getting them back to the ship now. Haywan and my kid were at risk if they stayed out here with her hurt ankle, and I wasn't about to let any of these prehistoric bastards get anywhere near her. The red-eyed dinosaur in front of me suddenly lowered its head down as it stared directly at me, and I could feel the thing glaring straight into my fucking soul.
Go, I whispered. Go now!
Adhara took the first step, and a twig snapped under her boots. Her movement was all it took to provoke the dinosaur. The Mapusaurus opened its jaw and howled, and the sound made my whole body shudder. But I grabbed my sharp gun before the dinosaur had time to lift its foot.
Go!
I yelled, and the girls started to sprint back to the craft. I took aim at the Mapusaurus's skull and pulled the trigger, but the ground shook so violently when the dino stomped again that my aim was thrown off, and the bullet only scraped the side of its thick body.
Fuck!
I spat as the dinosaur began to charge, and the wound barely seemed to register to the creature. It would only take about 6 steps for the beast to reach me now, and I knew the dinosaurs in the lake would soon catch on to the hunt, too. Especially once this fucker started crushing all their eggs. I fought every instinct I had to run, and forced myself to stand my ground as I took aim once more. And I decided to go for the neck instead of the head the second time, since it was a wider target. The dino's foot thudded down onto the ground just as I pulled the trigger, but I'd braced my legs in preparation, and the bullet only veered off slightly to the right. It still tore through the fucker's neck, though, and it took a trail of skin and blood along with it. Then the dinosaur roared again as it stumbled and thrashed its head around, and I knew it would only be a couple more steps before it was right on top of me.
Jason!
Becca screamed behind me, and I knew I had to go. The girls were safe and out of sight behind the entrance of the ship, and I fired off three more quick shots before I raced toward the craft. The dino took all three bullets to its neck, and then its shoulder as it continued thrashing around. But then it slammed its foot down again and roared so loudly I thought my eardrums would burst. Still, I kept sprinting, and I could see Leo through the window of the craft near the control panel. I knew he would hit the force field the second my feet touched the spacecraft floor. I just had to get there before the Mapusaurus reached me. Every inch of my body was sweating as I leapt over eggs and hurtled toward the craft. And when I reached the front of the ship, I could feel the breath of the dinosaur on me, along with its next roar. There was a sudden stench of rancid meat in the air, and I knew that meant the Mapusaurus's face was right behind me. Fuck! I belted as I ran like hell.
Jason!
The girls screamed in unison, and I skidded around the back of the ship just as a massive black foot slammed down onto the ground beside me. My soul felt like it left my body as I threw myself into the ship's entrance, and the force field buzzed on the millisecond my body was fully inside. I crashed into Cat at full speed, and we both toppled over onto the floor as Becca screamed bloody murder. Right outside the door, the Mapusaurus roared with a vengeance, and all my women's screams were drowned out by the ear-shattering sound. Then I managed to crane my neck around from where I'd landed on Cat, and I saw the curved snout of the giant right beyond the hazy force field. Its dagger-like teeth loomed not 6 feet away while it snarled, and the black scales shone in the sunlight while its nostrils flared right at the doorway.
Holy fuck!
Cat breathed as we watched the dinosaur's snout inch closer. It took a second for me to remember I was lying on the ground and safe inside the ship, and I helped Cat up as I scrambled up on numb legs.
Jason!
Haywan whimpered as she flung her arms around me, and she buried her head against my chest.
I thought...
Becca sobbed and covered her mouth with her hands.
I thought it had...
Shh! I said gently as I reached out and pulled her into the hug. I'm right here. I'm fine.
Don't ever fucking do that again!
Cat growled, and she furiously wiped her shimmering hazel eyes.
Yes, that Almaty was too big,
Edhara said quietly.
I think that my heart stopped.
The soldier and alien suddenly flung themselves into the group embrace, and we stood holding each other as I tried to slow my breathing down. Having my lover so close was probably the only thing that could have kept me from puking at that moment, and I let the feel of their presence seep through me and into my bones. My women were safe. My kids were safe. We'd made it.
It is good that you are not dead,
Leo suddenly chimed in from the control room, and I snorted with laughter. Thanks, man, I replied as the girls untangled themselves from me. Nice work with the force field. Those are some seriously fast reflexes.
Yes,
Leo agreed. How's your ankle? I asked the Korean in my arms, and I scooped her up into a bridal carry.
It's slightly sore,
Haywan said as I carried her into the control room.
It is nothing serious, though. I just need to rest it a little. It'll be fine.
Just a twist.
Cat nodded.
There's no bruising or anything. Keep off your feet for half an hour, and you'll be as good as new.
Just before we entered the room at the end of the corridor, I glanced back, and the massive snout vanished from the doorway. Then the Mapusaurus brought a thick foot down right in front of the spaceship's window, and the craft shook like it might shatter into pieces.
Fuck!
Becca gasped.
I will drive home,
Edhara firmly announced.
I want to take my family away from this evil Almaty.
That is fine,
Leo shrugged as he let her take the pilot seat. I gently lowered Haywan into one of the passenger seats and gave her a quick kiss on her soft lips. She smiled up at me, and I tucked a strand of ebony hair behind her ear before I turned to join the others near the control panel. How about we use those plasma cannons on the bastard, I said, as I stared out at the Mapusaurus's leg.
Yes.
Edhara nodded in agreement.
I will tell you when to fire.
Me? I asked, and the alien nodded again. She pointed to something on her right that looked like a gear stick as she proceeded to get the ship's engine going, and then she engaged the thrusters to slowly raise the ship upward. Since the commotion at the lake had stopped, the rest of the dinosaurs had begun to plod back up to the breeding grounds, and heavy footsteps rang out all around us. The Mapusaurus remained still as the ship rose higher, and soon we were level with its horrific face. It watched the ship, and I could have sworn that its glowing red eyes were fixed directly on me. Blood dribbled down its neck and shoulders from my earlier shots, and it slowly opened its mouth to show off the red-stained teeth. I glanced down at the stick-like device and rested a hand on the top. "So how does this work?" I asked.
"You aim by moving the stick,"
Adhara explained.
"When you are ready to fire, you pull out stick and release. I will tilt the ship forward so you can shoot toward ground."
"Right," I muttered and took my aim. We hovered right in front of the beast, and as soon as I moved the stick, a ray of green light came out of the front of the craft and fell on the dino's neck.
"Is that to show where you're aiming?"
Becca asked, and Adhara nodded. The Mapusaurus remained still as it watched the craft, and I moved the beam of light up so it landed right in the middle of the creature's skull.
"This isn't too close,"
Kat asked.
"Not for ship,"
Adhara replied.
"We are protected in force field, so cannot be hit by any blast back."
I kept my hand steady on the aiming stick and slowly began to pull the device out of its socket. The movement was smooth and light, and I heard something click into place as the stick was pulled out as far as it would go. Then I took a breath and looked straight into the Mapusaurus's red eyes as I let go. The plasma cannons at the front end of the ship were different from the rear end, and they released bright orange balls of gas that were twice the size of the purple ones from our blasters.
"Whoa,"
Haywan breathed as the orange sphere flew through the air and had collided with a hiss into the dinosaur's face. The black body of the creature lit up with an electric orange glow before the entire thing erupted from the inside out, and the dinosaur popped like a fleshy balloon. Entrails and bones flew into the sky before they began to rain down on the surrounding land, and every dino on the ground roared and howled as the gore covered their eggs, nests, and bodies. Several of the nearest beasts were caught up in the blast, and my jaw unhinged as I watched even the smallest remnants of the orange plasma peel away at their flesh or tear their limbs off. "Fuck yeah!" I yelled as I punched the air, and I carefully let go of the blaster stick.
"Holy shit!"
Kat laughed as she jumped up and down.
"That was amazing! That is one exploded dino!"
Becca snorted as red, goopy rain continued to fall.
"Those plasma cannons are incredible,"
Haywan said, and shook her head slowly.
"That was a good shot, Jason. Can we talk about how fucking scary that one was, though?"
Becca asked.
"I mean, it just looked evil, right? I'm sure it was giving Jason death stare right before it blew up into a million pieces."
"I thought it was, too," I admitted. "Creepy bastard." I reached back to check the superconducting link was still on my back, and I was relieved that I hadn't dropped it during the chase. Kat and Adhara had placed theirs against the wall anyway, so it looked like we had more than enough parts to get the Hadron Collider up and running again. "We did it," I grinned, as I collapsed into one of the chairs.
"Easy,"
Becca sighed.
"No idea what Mateo was so worried about, really."
I smirked at the gorgeous blonde as she discreetly dabbed the last few of her tears away. And when she caught me looking, her eyebrows crinkled in the sappiest way. Then I sent her a wink, and Becca managed a giggle while her cheeks blushed pink. The girls and Leo arranged themselves in the passenger seats, and I was about to close my eyes when I noticed something huge move around the ruins of the storage center below. "What's that?" I muttered as I got to my feet, and I stood next to Adhara while she started to turn the ship.
"What is it?"
Haywan asked from her seat, and the rest of the girls hurried over to join me. I was looking down at a herd of fucking huge dinosaurs. There were several more Mapusauruses along with some T-Rexes and Spinosauruses all moving together through the breeding grounds. It seemed that they had just come out of the mountains together, and from the same direction as the first Mapusaurus. A shiver ran through me as I watched them all sniff the air and stare directly up at the ship. Then they broke into a run as Adhara spun the craft around. And just before they were out of sight, I caught a glimpse of the herd running after us.
Holy shit, I breathed.
I felt slightly nauseous as I processed what I had just seen, and I had no doubt that those dinosaurs had caught on to our scent. Not only that, but they could see the spacecraft. I could no longer see the herd of giants, but I had a feeling deep in my gut that I couldn't shake. Quan had told me to always trust my instincts, and I just knew we hadn't seen the last of that herd. They were tracking us.